May it please Almighty God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 4 and we'll read verse 9. The Gospel of Mark chapter 4 and reading verse 9. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This parable is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke in very similar terms. It was clearly, and is clearly, a very important consideration, this parable of the sower. It's a very simple illustration the Lord used. And the descriptions that he gives of it are also clear. And we need to be reminded of the importance of these truths. Because, as the Lord said, as he came to the end of that first description, he said these words, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that means, if we have ears, we all have natural ears, don't we? We can hear naturally. But the great important favour and blessing is that God gives us spiritual ears. And that means if God gives us spiritual ears, then we hear and we understand spiritual truths. It's not just a form of words. It's that which penetrates into our heart. And how very important it is. And so may words like this enter into our heart and have a real effect upon us. When the Apostle John was on the Isle of Patmos when he was an old man, and he was some 90 years of age, and the Lord came and spoke to him, especially in the second and third chapters in Revelation, of the message that he was to give to the seven churches. And there were seven messages given, and they were to be read to all the churches. It wasn't just as though one message was to be read to one church and not the others. They were all to be given to all the churches, so they were all to understand. And in every case, these words were written. And he tells us this, He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And he goes on to say, and this is the sixth verse in the second chapter, and it was the first letter that was written to the church at Ephesus. And the Lord says, But he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So the Lord was graciously telling those seven churches that they would receive spiritual food. And how necessary and important that is for us today. We're humans. We need natural food, don't we? And you know, sometimes we might get very hungry. And perhaps if we haven't been able to stop for any food during the day, we get to the evening and we are very hungry. And we really need some food, and we are probably quite outspoken with the request that we are hungry and we do need something to eat. And also, of course, with regards to drink, you know, how important it is that we have something to satisfy our thirst. We don't drink all day. We can become very thirsty and we need something to drink, and we're very satisfied with a very plain drink of the water. If God allows us to just drink water, how satisfied we are. So there is therefore a natural need for us to eat and to drink. Well, there is also a spiritual need for us to eat and to drink. And it's a great blessing and favor if you and I are spiritually hungry. You know, if you're naturally hungry, you get to the, just take for instance a day, it could be several days, you'll be very hungry then. But if it was just a day, say, and you came to the end of the day and you were really hungry and somebody provided you something to eat, you'd be very thankful, I'm sure. And you'd eat it with a very great pleasure. And I expect if the next day came round and during the day you were perhaps asked, well, did you eat anything yesterday? And you might say, well, I did, but it was only at the end of the day and I was really hungry. And they might say, well, what did you eat? And you know, you and I would be able to no doubt describe it fairly accurately. And the same if we were really thirsty. And again, someone might say to you, well, did you drink anything yesterday? And you say, well, yes, I did. And you might say, well, was it a fancy drink or something good? You say, no, it was very simple, but I so needed it. And I was so grateful and I was so thankful for that drink of water that I had. Well, there we see the simplicity of the need you and I have in our natural life. And yet, you know, we're only satisfying that requirement, which will only be needed for just a few years. But when we consider our spiritual life, well, first of all, are we hungry for spiritual blessing? Secondly, are we thirsty for spiritual drink? And you know, have we spiritual ears to hear the gospel being preached? And is it good news to us? And it may be some time that we've gone without hearing the gospel. Therefore, we think perhaps that we're hungry for it and we're thirsty for it. And it's good if we are. But often, you know, we just take it for granted and we eat and drink. And what if it comes to the next day and perhaps somebody might say, well, how did you fare spiritually? Just take, for example, a Monday after the Lord's Day. How did you fare yesterday? What did you have to eat spiritually? Oh, you have to think, oh, just hold a minute. I'm just trying to think what it was. Oh, it'll come back to me, I think. Well, did you drink? Well, yes, I think I did drink, but well, I just can't remember what it was at the moment. You see the difference? You see the sad difference between natural things and spiritual things? And yet you see spiritual things are those which are eternal, which are a requirement for our eternal souls. And therefore, what a blessing it is when the Lord blesses us with that true spiritual hunger and thirst so that we don't just partake and just forget or other things take it away. Well, that's really what this parable of the sower is about. It's describing to us the effect or the lack of effect of the word of God in our souls. And that's why Lord tells us, he begins and he says, hearken. It's for us to listen with our spiritual ears. It's not for us to come and say, well, here I am, I'm sat in chapel now, it's a nice comfortable seat or wherever you may be at this time, sat at home perhaps in a nice armchair. I'm just going to settle down and well, it's not too long to pass through and then before you know where you are, You've lost sight of what's being spoken, and your mind's wandered away. And there you are, perhaps, until the end of the service. And if you were asked anything, well, what was the message tonight? And you might say, oh, well, I just can't remember. Well, that's a very sad and solemn situation, because you and I, you see, if that is so, and we've been listening or pretending to listen, what it really means is, solemnly before God, the Word of God has a word for that. And it's this. We are classified as a hypocrite. And that means we are pretending to be what we're not. And that is indeed a very, very sad situation. And so the Lord therefore comes and says, hearken, behold, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Well, the sower, of course, is the servants of God, and the seed is the glorious gospel, the glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Because we're told the sower soweth the word, the gospel, the word of God. And if we just stop for a moment and think about that, it is a wonderful favor, a wonderful privilege to be able to read God's word and to hear God's word preached. There are, in this world, we might say billions of people who do not have this privilege, who've never had it, who will never have it. And yet you see, we are wonderfully blessed and wonderfully favored. And so when you and I come to stand before that judgment seat on that great day of judgment, none of us will have any excuse to say, well, of course, I never heard anything. I never knew anything. I never heard about the gospel. I never knew about the Bible. All of us are solemnly without excuse. And yet what a privilege it is for us to have the word of God. It is really, this parable of the sower is a great warning to us. It's an example of all those who did not hear the word of God for their soul's profit. And there are, of course, four examples. Three of them did not profit. The last one did. And that was in varying degrees. But nonetheless, we would be thankful if we are amongst those who are classified as a good ground hearer. When I was pondering this today, I was thinking of those words in a hymn written by Robert Murray McShane. You may have heard of him. He was a very eminent preacher in Scotland in the beginning of the 19th century. That was in the 1820s and 30s, really. And he was a great preacher, wonderfully blessed. And he died when he was only 29, but his ministry was blessed, and he wrote some beautiful hymns. And one hymn starts like this, and I just read the first verse of that hymn, because hopefully it describes what a true believer is, or what a true believer needs. And this is what he says. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger, and I felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah said, can you? And that means the Lord our righteousness. Therefore it means the Lord my righteousness was nothing to me. But you and I tonight, we'll have to answer whether the Lord our righteousness, the Lord my righteousness, tonight is anything to us, or whether it is not. You know, really, our religion comes down to our attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Acts of the Apostles, there was that wonderful occasion when Stephen was up before the important people, and he gave a testimony of the things of God, what they meant to him, and how God had been with the Lord's people and had blessed them indeed. And it's in the seventh chapter of Acts, and it's a long chapter, and you can read it because it's a very interesting account as he states what God had done for his people. And the great multitude there, they listened to what he had to say to them until he spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he spoke about that, it was them that had caused the Lord of life to be crucified upon the cross at Calvary. And then what did they say? In the 57th verse we read, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. So they had ears. They didn't hear. And stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear. And ran upon him with one accord. And you may know they stoned him to death. They did not want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not want to hear that he had been crucified, and it was their sins that had caused him to be crucified. Well, tonight, you know, are we there? Are we crying out? Just like those people, crying out with a loud voice and stopping our ears so that we don't hear. We don't want to hear. We don't want to hear the good news of the gospel. Perhaps because it might affect our lives. It might affect the things that we want to do. We don't want to be fettered. We don't want to be stopped. And therefore, we don't want to hear about a crucified Saviour. And it may be that we turn off. We turn off our ears. We don't want to listen. We try and change our minds to bring into our heart some poor things of the world. Well, what tragic creatures we are sometimes. How sad it is. But what a blessing it is that the Holy Spirit comes upon us and applies his word to our very hearts, so that we can indeed praise and thank God for what he's done. If he's opened our ears to hear his word. David was a man of God. David tells us in the 40th Psalm, which starts off, I waited patiently for the Lord. And it goes on. And in the 6th verse, this is what David tells us. This is God, of course, speaking, and David responding. And he says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. And then he says, mine ears hast thou opened. Oh, what a blessing that is. If you and I tonight can look back in our lives to a time when God has opened our ears, that means that we have heard the truth of God's word, and that we are condemned because of what we've done, and perhaps condemned because of what we do, and because we're condemned because of the way we listen or the way we don't listen to God's word. Yes, says David, mine ears hast thou opened. And he goes on to say, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. You see, it's not an outward performance of religious actions. It is good to do right things. But you see, in and of themselves, they are not saving. It's only when the Holy Spirit opens our ears to hear his word. And when those ears are opened, we stand, you know, condemned before a holy God. And what's the effect? Well, my friends, the effect is very plain and it's very unmistakable. This blessed work of the Spirit. Because what does it do? It results in our heart and in our life. Yes, it does. And what does it show us when it makes this effect? Sin, which perhaps we weren't concerned about. Sin will be truly hated, be truly mourned over. We'll be sorry for it. We will endeavour to resist it. And we will endeavour to renounce it. This is the evidence of the blessed work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit in our souls. And not only so then, not only will it affect us in that way, but the blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be truly loved. Because of his love toward us, as John says, not that we loved God, but because he loved us. Yes, that's the gracious and blessed evidence of life. And may we know it. May we rejoice in it. It is so essential. These things are not just theory. They're those things which you and I need. Of necessity. And so to have the wonderful blessing of Christ revealed. And then you see holiness. The holiness of God will show itself to us. We may have treated God just as one of ourselves. We may have treated God as just an ordinary person instead of recognizing he is. And it will always be a holy, holy, holy Lord God. Yes, the holiness will show itself in all our life. In this way, in humility, in spiritual mindedness, patience, meekness, and love. There will be something that can be seen. That change will be observable. The work of the Holy Spirit cannot be hidden because it's God's work. And what a blessing, therefore, if you and I tonight have been blessed with those spiritual ears to hear the Lord. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so, the Lord goes through the examples in this parable very simply. And he tells us, you know, when there's one that heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Yes, you see, the devil comes. That which we may have heard, you see, it's snatched away. And that's why we don't remember it. It's had no real effect upon us. We may have sat and listened. We may have given the impression that we were listening. But in actual fact, we weren't. You know, our heart was in a different place. Our ears were not listening. we did not hear. Now, sometimes we may turn off because we want to. Sometimes the devil comes and turns us off because he wants us not to listen. You know, we need much grace to, in these situations, to resist the devil. Don't forget the devil's always active, always there to turn us away. And especially when Christ and him crucified is spoken of. The devil hates that. He can't stand it because he knows that it was through the glorious death of the Saviour. And when he rose again, he was a defeated foe. We will bless God for it, for the wonderful truth. And then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Don't think that you and I have got strength enough to withstand the devil. We need God to enable us to remember the great truths of God. And then this is he which received the seed by the wayside. There it is. Just like that. And then the Lord goes on. Then he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. You know, you may hear people come and say, oh, that was a good sermon this evening, or that was a good sermon this morning. But you know, just weasel words. It's not true, really. Because come tomorrow, they've completely forgotten what it was all about. And the Lord gives the reason why that is. It's a very solemn reason. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises, when trouble comes or difficulties, because of the word, by and by he is offended. Yes, it doesn't really have that good and gracious effect. No, it's left them really unaffected. Sad, isn't it? And so they have no root. And then thirdly, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the care, and then he gives the reasons, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. No fruit, you see. So many things rush in. So many things occupy our thoughts. There's no true fruit. There's no true blessing emanating from the word of God. We heard it. It was only with our natural ear. We didn't hear it with our spiritual ear. How sad that is. But thankfully then he says this. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. It enters into our hearts. It abides there. It's from Almighty God. And the effect of that is to make us fruitful in the things of God. Yes, and there's differences of fruitfulness, and the law tells us the sum 100-fold, the sum 60, and the sum 30. But there has been that good and wonderful and gracious effect of the hearing of the word. And we must come back to this great truth that the apostle, or rather the preacher, Robert Murray McShane says, when he tells us, I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Well, God knows whether you and I are there tonight, whether you and I look back in our lives and can say, yes, I was there, but by the grace of God, now I am what I am. And I can testify of his love and his mercy to me. And so in those days, those friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree. Jehovah Sid Kidnew was nothing to me. But oh, bless God tonight. If when Christ and him crucified is preached, when Christ and his glorious sacrifice is proclaimed, our hearts are drawn up to him in love. And we praise and glorify him for what he's done for us, for giving us ears to hear that we've heard the glorious truth of the gospel and we rejoiced in it. And it's had a gracious and blessed, and we might say, eternal effect upon us, because it were done if Christ and him crucified is now precious to us. It's because God has brought about a glorious change, a change which cannot be reversed, and that change which through his grace will bring us at last safe home to glory. It will give us great cause to praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen.